as I'll stand together reading the book of Ezekiel, tonight. We were there this morning, and I just want to continue the thought for just a few moments, and we'll go to the house or to Taco Bell. How many likes tacos? Three of you. How many likes hamburgers? How many likes cheeseburgers? Now, here's the favorite. How many of you like hot dogs? Well, how many of you just like food? It don't matter what it is. Okay. Well, I agree and concur with that statement. I was talking about the search is still open and still ready for a man. God's still trying to call men into service. And I just want to allude to that thought just for a moment, taking from the context of Ezekiel chapter 22. And I read verse 1 this morning, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city?" He goes on to talk about the abominations and the indignations of the nation of Israel. He comes over to the latter part of chapter 22, verse 23. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation." And he continues with that thought as God gave instruction to Ezekiel, the young prophet and priest in his day in the Babylonian captivity. Verse 29, "The people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery. They have vexed the poor, needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. For I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." May God add his blessings to the reading of the Word of God. Father, thank you for the singing. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in church this evening. And may, Lord, for just a few moments as we open up your book, open up the Word of God, may we take a lesson to make application to our life. And Father, we give you praise and honor for it. We sure do love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. God has a desire for everyone in this room today and tonight to be saved. And there is a call of God upon every individual in this room tonight for salvation. Somewhere along the way, the call of God came. God was sending out a call for a man, looking for a man. You can't be the man God wants until you become the man that comes to God for what you need in your life. Once you realize your need of Christ, it changes everything completely. And I'm grateful to God for that. As we saw this morning, there's a lot of devastation and destruction and just abominational things going on in the world today. And we're not immune to having contact with that, nor being attacked by it. And we often say, not being pessimist, but it shall wax worse and worse until the end comes. Things shall get worse and worse until the end comes. Preacher, that's a pessimistic message. Well, no, it's hope. Because sooner or later, out of the eastern sky, the Lord Jesus is going to descend. And with a shout of the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord and be with him forever. And thank God for that. He says, comfort one another these words. Christian people are going to have to get comfort from the person who gives comfort, and that's only the Lord God Almighty who can give true comfort. And that's why the church is so important, because he's the head of the church and we're the body. And we go hand in hand through this world, and God wants to bless us and help us no matter how bad it gets. Just watching and listening to the news of the devastation of the floods is enough to make you heartsick. To see folks, everything they have wiped out instantaneously, cheer up, it will get worse. And already in the Mideast, things are escalating again, talking about all the seriousness and all the problems they're having there and attacking Israel. And Israel's ready to take on the whole world, and they can and they will. And they'll always be victorious because God's on their side. Amen. Better still, they're on God's side. Chosen people they are, and they've won mammoth wars down through the annals of time as God provided for them the necessary ability to get it done. So there's a call for salvation from God. It's amazing that God would use man. It's amazing. I said this morning, I can think of a lot of things in my own life, how God can choose just anybody, anywhere, anytime, who meets the condition to be saved. And the condition is, you got to realize you're lost, realize you're a sinner. And salvation comes through and by the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, which is Brother Tommy Marlowe's favorite verse, verse 11 through 17, but chapter 10, verse 13 through 16, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be what?
Saved.
"Well, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except he be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." Every person in this room who preaches the gospel or shares the gospel has beautiful feet. You may think yours is ugly. God thinks they're pretty if you're carrying the gospel of peace. "And bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, the Lord who hath believed our report." It's amazing that God would choose us after what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. After Adam plunged the whole world into what we call moral depravity. Throwing through my veins tonight is human DNA. It's called flesh. It's called carnality. And in my flesh, there is the temptation to commit any sin in the book. Somebody says, "Preacher, I would never do this or never do that." Watch your nevers, because you might find out down the road you may be very guilty of the very sin that you say you never do again. Only by the grace of God are we saved, and all God's people said. And only by the grace of God can we live and serve him in this generation until the end comes. And thank God for that wonderful grace he gives us. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is the gift of God. So it's amazing that God would use man after he failed and fell so low and committed so many terrible sins. He calls them abominations. He calls them indignations. He calls it a bloody street and a bloody city. And God saw heathenism and forsakenness of his truth. He saw the filth and the dirt and the vile and everything you can imagine in man. We've heard it said before, and several folks have used the phrase, "All we are is a dust ball." It's all we are. We're just a little ball of clay that God has breathed into our nostrils, that he put in this little ball of clay, and we became a living soul. And we are what we are tonight because of God and what he's done in our life. And yet when we sinned against him and committed rebellion, high treason, if you please, in the Garden of Eden, when we defied God, especially Adam, when Adam sinned against God, he plunged the whole world into depravity. We'd still be in the Garden of Eden, somebody said, if it wasn't for Adam. But we are not in the Garden of Eden tonight. We're heading for the Eden of rest, a paradise called heaven. But until then, we're going to live in this old nasty world, and we're going to find contamination everywhere. And when you look around real close and start letting God search your light, you say, "Lord, I don't think I thought that. I didn't think I would say that. I didn't think I would do that." And then there'll be a confession time of getting right with God, because we realize we've failed and fallen and made mistakes. But God still wants to use us. He wants to use old sinners saved by grace. Amen. It's amazing God can take old sinners and fill them with the Holy Ghost of God and use them for the glory of God. Only God can do that. And I'm glad God can take you and take me, for as he seeks for us, Jeremiah said it well, time to seek the Lord. And we need to seek the Lord because he seeks after us. And God came searching Adam in the Garden of Eden. "Adam, where art thou?" God always takes the initiative. And he searches in people's life. And Jesus came, and the Bible says he came to seek and save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And so he came with the desire in his heart to save lost mankind, restore them back to fellowship with him, and be fit candidates to go to heaven when this life is over. Only way I'm going to heaven tonight is not by the flesh of James Marvin Pauley. Only way I'm going to heaven tonight is not because of my goodness. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a great guy. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good-looking guy like the rest of the guys in the choir. We're not going to heaven because of any virtue we have. The only way we're going to heaven is by the grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God can do what you can't do?
Yeah.
I want to go to heaven when I die. Am I fit to go to heaven? And the answer is no. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to suffer forever and ever in the regions of the damned with the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist and all the demons of hell and all the sinners that go there. That's where I belong. But thank God, there's a merciful hand of Almighty God that reaches farther down than I can reach up. He lifted me. He lifted you out of the miry clay, out of the mud of sin, and placed your feet on a solid rock and established your going and put a song in your heart. And today you've been saved by God's grace. And you say, God can use me. God can use me. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He can change your life. He can change your desires. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the boy I used to be. As I've grown through the years, I still have the battle with the flesh. Now, don't sit there and look surprised like you never do anything wrong. Right. Sometimes Christians get so sanctimonious, they think they're right up there next to God on the Trinity or something.
Amen.
We're not. You say, preacher, how can God take sinners like us? Well, number one, you keep your sins covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You stay in sweet fellowship with Him, and He gives us of His power, the Holy Spirit, who dwells on the inside of our body. Everywhere I go, everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit goes with me. Sometimes I grieve Him. Sometimes I make Him happy. My responsibility is to make Him happy. I talked about Wednesday night. God wants us to be good representations of Him everywhere we go. But He called us, first of all, for salvation. He put our name in the book of life. He inscribed it there. And because our name is in the book of life, we can go to heaven. And because God loved us and sent His Son to die for us on the cross, He's paid the penalty. He's paid everything that's due. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. I said this morning, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So you may be drifting away tonight from God. There's a lot of folks that you may tune in tonight to the program on the internet system. You may be drifting from God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's talking to Christian people in Hebrews chapter 2. How shall you escape? That doesn't mean you're going to hell. It is going to mean you're going to be chastised. It may mean die early in your life. It may mean that God may take you out of here because you won't repent and get right with God. You've been saved. You know what you ought to do, but just drifting through life, sort of like the church in the book of Ephesus, in the book of Revelation, how they left their first love. You ever notice the wording of that phrase? It said, and they left their first love. They didn't lose it, they left it. It was the decision of leaving the very presence of God and going back to the world, back to the flesh. I'll say this Saturday. I know Tommy wants me to say it. I've said it several times. I've been with him on hundreds of occasions when he's made the phrase. And sometimes when I was witnessing to somebody and they said, I used to walk with God, and for a long time I did, I said, Tommy, tell me your testimony. And Tommy would tell him about walking away from God as a young teenage boy. And for 30 years, he walked in rebellion against God. Miserable, wretched he was. He'd hide when the preacher would come to see him or Christian people. But Tommy said it was the most miserable day of my life. He bragged about, I could drink the best vodka that money can buy. He bragged about it. But miserable on the inside, wretched old sinner he was. And it took that tragedy in his life to awaken him one more time to reality. And Tommy didn't look back after he made that decision, he and Kathy. Never will forget the day, never will forget the occasion. While they was on a little couch at the house, and I was before them, talked trying to comfort them, they were sobbing. And Tommy said, God, you got my attention. And he'd say, Jamie, the preacher said, I don't want to stay faithful. I got to make up for lost time. Was he perfect? No. Did he have imperfections? Yes. But he said, I can't quit on God now. He's done too much for me. And he says, I'll make these years count. And he did. He lived longer than he was supposed to live, according to medical science. And God helped him to touch a lot of lives with the witness of his own testimony. Sometimes we get to be miserable, wretched souls turning away from God. Our hearts have drifted. We go through the motions. We serve the Lord. We do what we're supposed to do. But our heart is far from Him. We draw near with our mouth, but our heart is far from Him. And so sometimes we're looking for the blessing of the Lord. It's already there. God's called you. He just wants you to go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where you got saved at. Every once in a while, everybody in this room ought to go back to where you got saved at. How many of you can do that physically? You could go tonight if you had a way to get there or time to get there to the place where God saved you. How many was in a church? Raise your hand. You know the name of the church? Church still exists? Every once in a while, just go by there, and if you can, if it's possible, just go inside and let folks know you're there. You go down to the altar of where you got saved at and just say, Lord, just come by to relive the experience years ago. I know I can't live in the past, but sure I'm glad you saved me and give the time if you know when it was or how it was come about. How many got saved at home? Several of you did. Not too hard if you got the same house. You could just bow right where you're at. Did you get saved at the house you're living in now, Linda? Back when you was a little girl?
6 years old.
I got you. How many got saved just outside of your house or somewhere else, camp? God bless you. Most of us got saved in church. Do you think church is important? If most folks in this building got saved because of church, church is so important. Ecclesia, bringing together God's people to worship together, to depart, to serve the Lord. And He's the head and we're the body. And Christ wants to use us to help touch the lives of individuals. We've left our first love to some degree. We're miserable and wretched indeed. We need to go back to Bethel. But He not only calls us to salvation, and He does. Somewhere in your past, God called you to salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, at the call of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We said it this morning, but let's echo it again tonight. Shall be saved. Say it again.
Shall be saved.
Shout it loud so the devil can hear it.
Shall be saved.
It doesn't mean future tense. It means right now. Once the act is done, it's done. And thank God you've been saved by God's marvelous grace. Somebody tells me to go to hell. I don't need to go. I'm not going. If you get mad, real mad at somebody, tell them to do this. If you got a bad tongue on your lip, if you got a bad tongue, you say the wrong words. Don't tell folks to go to purgatory. Man, that's terrible, a place called hell. You get mad, just say, why don't you go to heaven? Maybe that'll just temper it a little bit. Be far better not to tell them either one. But some folks just tell you and send you off to hell if they could. They have no clue what they're talking about. I said a while ago, I deserve to go to hell, so do you. But by God's grace, I'm still alive. I'm still heading toward heaven. And one day, I'll take my last breath in this world and wake up on God's celestial shore. All because of God's mercy and grace. But in the meantime, He calls me to service and calls you to service. Thank you for serving tonight. Every time we see a military guy, we try to say that. The last one I saw was at Big Lots in a wheelchair. He kept looking at me and I kept looking at him. I finally walked over and said, sir, I want to thank you for serving. He said, my pleasure. My pleasure. I'd go again if I could. In a wheelchair, he says, I know you. And I said, well, I'm glad you know me. Who am I? He said, you a preacher? I said, yes, sir, that's right. He said, I don't know your name, but I can tell them. I don't know what that means. I hear that often. I'm not sure if it's because they saw my picture on the post office wall when a prisoner lined up or something. But I'm glad to be identified as a preacher. I've been called a lot of names over the years, and you have too in serving the Lord. Blessed is the man that carries the gospel and preaches. And that's not just the pastor, that's just not the evangelist, but everybody is involved in soul winning. Everybody ought to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, and all God's people say it. I mean, you say, preacher, I'm not very good at witnessing. Well, are you good at anything? Well, I can talk to people about food. Well, why don't you switch it over to the bread of life? Yeah. You may be able to talk about the joy of fishing. I haven't been fishing quite a while. Used to love to fish years ago when I was a kid. You can talk about fishing, but can you talk about fishing for souls? Boy, I caught a big fish one time. Honestly, it was a big fish. And that fish was at least caught that far from the bank. And it was a big one. I love to go fishing. Love to fish for various kind of fish. And use different kind of bait as a child going fishing. I was thinking about the flood. The only flood I've been in was in the river that overflowed in our place in West Virginia. And when they started tying up boats at the door, we knew it was time to get out. Already under the crawl space, the water was, and the river was coming up very fast. It stopped right there at the porch. But I fished in that river many, many times. And I think of Mud River, it was called, outside of Milton, West Virginia. But I'm glad not only to go physically fishing, we can tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us realize we've been called to serve. Matthew, come follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And Matthew up and left his seat of the customs, which was a tax collector, and began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He called others into service. Some of the most unlikely people in all the world were called into service by God. We look at them, they're a raggedy crew. Some may be a little more successful than others, but some of them were not. I think of the statement I heard recently, they were ignorant and unlearned men. Yeah. That's what they were, and God chose them. Now, you may be ignorant, this is another word. You may be more ignorant. I mean, you just plumb dumb, but God wants you. You say, preacher, I don't know a whole lot. You don't have to know a whole lot. God got it all. He knows everything there is to know, and if it's something you need to know, he can let you know. Some of the young people and some of the folks who may be most unlikely to be soul winners sometimes can be the greatest soul winners by their life and by their lips and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he calls us unto salvation, and he calls us unto service. And he says in this context, I'm looking for a man. Now, he's looking for a man to fill up the gap and make up the hedge, to put a hedge of prayer around the place, and also to stand where there's an empty place. Stand in the gap, make up the hedge. I'm just looking for a man. I realize in the context of the nation of Israel and what needs to be done for them and the judgment that was going to come upon them because of their disobedience. But he's looking for a man in the 21st century. Amen. He's looking for a woman today. God has not changed. Same yesterday, today, and forever. If he needed men yesterday, he needs men today. Now it says in the context also, but he found none. Could he find one today? It's possible. Could he find more than one? It's definitely possible. Just saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Take me, use me, don't refuse me. Lord, sure there's a work that I can do. Lord, I don't know what I can do, but I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And you yield yourself. It's important sometimes to realize how salvation is. But salvation does not stop by getting saved as far as having your sins covered by the blood of Christ. It continues by sanctification of drawing closer and closer to God day by day and becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached it a lot and said it a lot in recent days. We've been conformed to be the image of Christ, to be made like Him. Been predestined to become conformed to the image of God's Son, dear Son. I'm supposed to look like Jesus Christ. Maybe not on the physical sense. He was 33 and a half years old when he died. Some thought he was over 50. He looked older than he was, the Bible said. And it looked like 50 years of age, but he was still the Son of God and the Son of Man and the servant of mankind. Always up and about the Father's duty, come to do the Father's will. Father, not my will, but thine be done. What is your will? I sent you to the world to seek and save that which is lost. Seek him. Seeking a man. Seek and save that which is lost. Who's destitute, who's in trouble, who needs help. And I'm sending you there to try to get the message to him. Luke 9:23-26. The Bible talks about the call to service. It says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man banished if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and in the and of the holy angels. I watched the news a little bit this afternoon. I saw the two guys sitting in the car in one of our sister cities. He was sort of a big fella, and he's sitting there, another guy, broken. And he says, I have nothing left. Everything that I have is gone. You could almost see this big old man, probably weighed 300 pounds. You could almost see the tears oozing from his eyes. And he said these words, I don't know what I'm going to do. What an opportunity for Christian people to step up the plate in these areas of devastation. Because it's going to come to your door. It's going to come to your place. It's going to come to your street. And one day you may be there to be the very key that God puts you there for a purpose. Just say a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, they all won't receive that. But you'll find a lot of times when folks are broken, they're more open. Sometimes when their tears are streaming down their eyes, they're more open to the gospel in a time of their life. Oh, they're tough when things are going good. I mean, they can whip somebody quickly. They're strong and robust and have all the energy of the world. And they can take on the world, they think, but with their two fists. But you get them to be broken. God instantaneously, and somebody said it already this morning, that quick can change the whole atmosphere. I thought the other night when the thunder was roaring and low on the ground, the windows were sort of shaking at our house. God could send the thunderstorm so loud, could pop every house open and the roof blow off, and you with it. You could find a place of destitution and death over just quickly. And we know that. We talk about it. We could come to us. But what's going to happen when the devastation comes our way? Oh, we live high sometimes. I mean by that, we enjoy life. We have a roof over our head, clothes on our back, a little money in the bank. We have clothes to wear. We're getting along pretty good. But that instantaneity can be gone, all of it. Somebody says, well, I got money in the bank. That don't mean nothing. All the government has to do is issue an order, and they take everything you got. Right. And you don't own anything, and you say, well, I got my house paid for. You're paying taxes. They still got their itchy fingers on your property. And they could take it any time. And if you don't obey what they say when the time comes, they could take everything you have, and you could be as poor as Job's turkey, however poor that was, my son up. You can find yourself destitute. I don't know about you, but I just like this thing of serving Jesus. Amen. Won't have to worry one day no more. We shouldn't worry at all. Won't have to be frustrated anymore. Sometimes we get just plumb bent out of shape with life. It throws a lot of curves, and we're doing pretty well, and all of a sudden, bang, we get hit with something else. About the time one thing settles down, something else hits us. Whew, boy, I'm glad that's passed. Bang, something else comes our way. Before long, you're living in despair again. He is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, and the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. The Lord is my shepherd, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not death itself, but the shadow of death, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. One day, somewhere on the counter of God, we're going to walk through that valley called the shadow of death. You say, why is it just a shadow? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And you can't have a shadow without light. And He's the light of the world. And when you go through the valley, I think it's going to be one of the most tender times in all of our life. He takes us by the hand, spiritually speaking now, and leads us to the promised land. Can you imagine that? You say, you think that's how it's going to be? We don't have enough time. Time won't matter anymore. The last valley will be crossed. The last valley will be walked through, and we'll be on heaven's shore forevermore. Somewhere along the way, there needs to be a hallelujah. There needs to be glory to God. Thank God I'm saved, been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Not going to hell, going to heaven. My ticket's been purchased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm satisfied with my salvation. What I sometimes get dissatisfied with is my service to God. Oh, we sometimes can go through the motion, I said a while ago, but let's get busy for the Lord. Let's get active for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be as active as you possibly can. Sometimes we may have to slow, as I mentioned that last week. Sometimes your goal may not be as good as it used to be, but let's stay in the battle. Stay in the battle. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. The best is yet to come. That's the reason why the lady left the fork on the plate. She said, can I take your fork? And she said, no, I'll just keep my fork. Well, why do you want to keep your fork? She said, the best is yet to come. She's waiting on dessert. That's all she's waiting on. The best is yet to come. This whole world is going to pass away. This whole house is going to fall. This whole body is going to crumble in the dust of humanity. And I have a brand new body, fashioned like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more pain, no more tears, no more heartaches, no more trouble, no more devastation, no more depression, no more worry, no more wondering what's the past, what's the future going to bring. And the cares of this life are going to be bad past. Goodbye, cruel world, goodbye, as we enter into the presence of the Lord. Well, there's a call to salvation. There's a call to service. And may God help us to be involved, because God's looking for a man. A time to surrender your life. See, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be willing to be servant to God. But there comes a time of surrendering what you have. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. He's not looking for you to go to the cross necessarily. He's already been there, the big cross. But he does want you to be a living sacrifice, to lay your all on the altar. Lord, everything I have, everything I ever hoped to have, anything that I have belongs to you. Sacrifice wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, Paul said. And be not conformed or fashioned to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He'll protect you. He'll supply for you. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ, glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Psalms 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalms 91:1. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And Isaiah responded in chapter 6. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord. Whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us? Then said I, Isaiah speaking, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, and understand not, and ye indeed, but perceive not. But Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I close now with the fact that the call of God's on our life, the care of God will take care of us, the provision and the protection, and I'm grateful for God for that. It's alarming that God would have to look for a man. Why does he have to look for a man? After what he's done, I've been blessed. Now, maybe you haven't, but I have. And he's the blesser, and I'm the recipient of those blessings. Sometimes we're more excited about the blessings than we are the blesser. And God has given to us many, many blessings. You're here tonight. You're alive, still alive. You're still contributing to your family. You're still being able to put a roof over your head with his help, a car to drive and clothes to wear and food to eat. We've been blessed. When malnutrition attacks little kids in Africa and some places in South America, where their faces just blow up and they become skin and bones, they don't even get hungry anymore after a while they pass that. They don't hunger anymore. They just lay there suffering, ready to die. I've been blessed. You go to some place in the world where they don't have enough food to eat, some place that they don't have enough to live in, to little huts beside the road. I've been to mission fields where they lived under the bridge. Philippines, you could throw money or candy off of the bridge. And like little dogs, they run to get it, not being critical. You throw candy off a bridge in the Philippines, it's like a mammoth battle to get who gets the candy. They live down there in little cardboard boxes. That's how they survive. Sometimes they come begging in town, and American dollar, they want American dollars because they're valuable. And sometimes you have to be careful because your heart would be broken. You give away too much, and they just go to the next person, do the same thing over and over again. You say, well, God bless them. God bless me. I've never had to sit by the right side and beg. I never had to sit by the street with a tin can. I've never had that to do in my life. My needs have always been met, and so have yours. Not my greeds, but my needs. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I've never had a lot of things. I always had clothes to wear. Dad, Mom believed us wearing clothes, we had to wear clothes. Long story, but he was a stickler for dress. We had one sister in our family, and Dad wanted to be sure she dressed modestly. He always did. But I remember coming up, we always had clean clothes. I got a picture under my computer. It's our entire family, except for Eddie. He may be in the picture, I can't remember. But Mom and Dad, they were in their 30s. And there's Sonny, my older brother. There's me, and there's my sister. And I guess Eddie was in the picture, just a baby. She had five total. One died in infancy. I'm glad I was born in a Christian home. I wouldn't take nothing for that journey now. When I look back and see where I come from, you say, preacher, you were protected from a lot of things. But the devil knows exactly where to go, even those kind of homes. Yeah. He wants to attack and ruin, wreck and destroy everybody he can. But I've been blessed. I'm blessed with Christian heritage, and I'm thankful for that. You're being blessed to somebody with your Christian heritage. Heaven only reveal how much good it's done. And so we live the Christian life. We walk with God. We talk with God. We're not perfect. We're not above sin. We're not beyond sin. We're just sinners saved by grace. But our responsibility is to serve Him and surrender all. I surrender all. All to Him I give. Freely. He wants you and He wants me. They climb on the altar. He doesn't want us to come and take a bloody... He wants a living sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. Present your bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If you want me to be a missionary to Africa, I surrender. Or if you want me to be a missionary to my street, I surrender. Lord, I surrender to be whatever you want me to be by your grace. If you want me to do something else, just show me. Leave me alone. Take me through the battles of life, but show me what you want me to do. I have one life to live, will soon be gone, and yours will be too. The only things that really count are those things done for eternity. Ain't gonna matter about my house. Ain't gonna matter about the car. Ain't gonna matter about the food on the table. Ain't gonna matter about the clothes on the back. One of these days, that's all gonna be passed. If I should die right now, or better still, the rapture occurs, or in church, what would happen? Those glasses would need no more. They'd be left behind. Two hearing aids would be left behind. Hallelujah, glory to God. Maybe you want to speak in tongues. Think about it. My hearing aids would be gone. The right knee is artificial. It'd be left behind. My left knee is artificial. It'd be left behind. My right hip is artificial. It'd be left behind. I got one good hip. Pray for me. The old clothes will be left behind for the clothes man. They'll go to the Goodwill. The clothes will just fall off. You say, preach, that'd be awful sight to behold. I'll be clothed in the righteousness of God. Amen. I don't know what He's going to put on us, but robes of righteousness. Whatever, God's going to be beautiful. And I'll be ready to go. And the rapture occurs. And the Lord comes. And He says, come. And there we go. Wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now. Grateful for God's blessings on my life. Amen. Let's just join God in these latter days and say, Lord, I give you my best. Help me to serve you with all my heart. And may I touch somebody's life for you, not for me, but for them and for the cause of Christ. Let's stand together, please. Father, take the frailty of these human words, weave them together with Thy divine word, the call to salvation, and we shall be saved if we call upon You. Lord, take the words of Luke chapter 9 of becoming a follower and a servant, and Lord, that we're willing to go where You want us to go, be what You want us to be, say what we need to say. Lord, we sometimes don't fulfill the will of God in our life. And sometimes we feel ashamed, and we ought to. But then we ought to go back to You and confess our sins regularly, but do something about it. Lord, help us not just to drift and drift and drift. Help us to have the power of God, the blessings of God upon our life. Thank You for our church family tonight gathered here on a Sunday night. I pray, Lord, You'll bless us all together. And if one needs to come, may they come and just offer themselves in a prayer. And Lord, You see exactly what the need is. You know exactly what's working in their lives. And may they be willing to surrender to Thee or something in their life they need to surrender. And we'll thank You for